And welcome. I'm sorry, I'm a little overwhelmed. I'm so glad to be here, and I hope you're glad to be here too. It's a good thing to gather with each other and to open our hearts to each other and to God's Spirit. We welcome you, especially those of you who may be visiting with us for the first time or for the first time in a while. You are in for a treat this morning. Our Director of Children's Ministries, Zan Morgan, will be bringing our sermon this morning, and I am so excited, and we are so blessed to have her and to hear her. I invite all of you to take a few moments this morning to fill out this connection card. This is a chance for us to connect with you, connect each other with the ministries of this church and other opportunities and needs. And you'll have another opportunity later in the service to fill out more of the card. You can find announcements related to congregational life in your bulletin insert. I would like to highlight a few opportunities that are happening today and later this week. This morning, following our fellowship time and our church school time, we have a really special celebration. This is something that we haven't done before in this way. We're going to be having a special lunch to celebrate one of our longest running ministries, which is our Vespers ministry of offering food and opportunity for community for the homeless and hungry in our community. This is a volunteer-run ministry that numerous people in our church and in other churches have been involved with. And you can see the program in your bulletin insert and see what all is happening. It's a free lunch and a chance to connect with this ministry, learn more about this ministry, and connect with some of the members of the community who come to be fed with food and with community. I hope you'll stay for that. Also, later this afternoon at 5 o'clock at Nye Funeral Home on Liberty, West Liberty, is the funeral for John Moyer. I hope you will be able to come out and show your love to the family. The visitation is happening before the funeral there this afternoon, starting at 3. One more thing I'd like to let you know about is that on Thursday, we have the final concert of this season's Coffee Break Concert Series. It's this Thursday at 12:15 in this room. It's a free concert with delicious refreshments afterwards. And this Thursday's concert features two harpsichordists, Martha Foltz and our own Shanae Chun. So please, if you have a lunch break or a little time that you can come away and hear some great music, you will leave renewed and refreshed. You can read other announcements related to congregational life at your leisure. God's love has called us here. God's life will fill us here. And God's joy is ready to spill into us and spill out of us. So open your hearts and lift them to the Lord. And let's worship.
Thank you. Please stand if you are able. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, you have created the freshness and sunny beauty of spring, and we gather together now hoping for warmth and bloom in your great green world outside and here in our hearts. During this hour, we ask you to help us to become more compassionate, more generous, and more hopeful, so that in a week's time we can come together again and report to you that we have been helpful to others. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Peoples, let the sound of his praise be heard.
He has kept us among the living, and has not let our feet slip.
For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried.
You brought us into the net. You laid burdens on our backs.
You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer, or removed his steadfast love from me.
Thank you.
In this letter from Peter to the Romans in Asia Minor, he enumerates some elements of a Christian's explanation and defense of the faith. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is right? But even if you do suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts reverence Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and reverence, and keep your conscience clear so that when you are abused, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing right, if that should be God's will, than for doing wrong. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. The word of the Lord.
Let us pray together, please. God of life, God of all true joy. Your mercies are new every morning. Everywhere and always you are present, and you are blessedly present with us here. And so we offer our prayers. We ask to be more fully awakened to all your gifts to us, the bounty of your blessings, all our lives, past, present, and future. Stir us to know them, to recognize them for what they are, to receive them gratefully and put them to faithful use. Free us from the great sins of ingratitude and indifference. Give us a proper passion for the truth and for the living of the truth. Bring healing to our regrets. Bring liberations from our sins, our failures, our mistakes. If our hearts need to be broken, then let them be broken. And if our lives need lifting into fresh joy, O God, lift up our hearts. We pray for the millions of people in African countries and elsewhere who are suffering this very day from the ravages of famine. We pray for the millions of people in danger now from the cruelties of war. We pray for our country in its present political crisis. And we pray for the church, that everywhere we will be more faithful to be instruments of your way, your compassion, your longing for a world at peace. And now we pray for those who are known to many of us. We pray for Anna Moyer and Alice and George and other who are family and friends of John Moyer. We pray for Nancy Rushton, Helen Louise Bowser, Jerry Reese, Bill and Jenny McKeachy, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Ethan Wright, Wally Jordan, Saw Charlie, Logan Sweet, Paul Ferry, Dottie Kassler, Jody Wilt, John Quint, for Scott, Jim Terrace, Jim Johnson, for Tammy, for Claudio, Lima, David, Valerie Nebbia, Daisy, for Scott Hutton, Peter Herb, for Kay, Bart, and Bob, and for all who are coping with chronic illness, mental and physical. Now, gracious God, each of us in silence lift our longing into your light. May all of us now be made deeply receptive to all that you would have us to understand and to all that you would have us give in response. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who turn into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Please stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father. And I will love them and reveal myself to them. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them. And we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the words that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us be on our way. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. Children, you may join me up at question for you. Are you involved in any sports? Oh, yeah. Okay, can you tell me some of the sports you play?
Soccer.
Soccer.
Baseball.
T-ball.
Basketball.
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 Soccer.
Field hockey.
Do any of you play instruments? What instruments do you play?
Sometimes the kazoo. Yeah, so you all are busy. You are busy playing sports and also learning instruments. I was thinking this week about good coaches and good teachers.
And I was wondering, what makes somebody a good coach or a good teacher? What do you think? Can you share? What are some qualities or characteristics of a good coach or a good teacher? Alexandra.
They make learning fun.
They make learning fun.
They're nice.
They're nice.
When you get a ground out at first, they don't get mad at you.
They don't get mad at you?
They're funny.
Oh, they're funny. Yeah, so you talked about a lot of qualities. Kind, they encourage you, they make learning fun, they help you learn new things, they cheer you on. Today's gospel reading, Jesus is a bit like a coach, talking to his team, and then Jesus says a new coach is coming who will be good too, and will encourage you to grow and to play and to care for all people. Ooh, that's a good coach. Will you pray with me? Dear God, I thank you for these kiddos and for the things they are learning and the games they play. We thank you for good coaches and teachers in our lives to help us grow. And we thank you for the voice of Jesus, who is our coach too. Help us listen for his voice as well. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit too, who coaches us, who coaches our hearts. In your Son's name we pray together. Amen.
Sunday, just over a month or so ago, we gathered all the children together to go on a journey with Jesus. That's what we called it, a journey with Jesus. And we started off with riding a donkey and waving our palms as the procession into Jerusalem happened. And then we met with Jesus' friends and we washed each other's feet. We shared a meal together. We went through the Passion. And we celebrated that the end of the Passion is not the end of the story. One of the stages on the journey was this meal, the Last Supper. So all the kids are gathered around tables in the campus center, tried to make it feel special with plastic wine glasses for their juice. We had bread and grapes and cheese, and we sat around together thinking about what it might be like to be there with Jesus at that Last Supper, when he's telling the disciples that he is about to go. One of my favorite spiritual disciplines with children is the discipline of wondering. Wondering. I wonder what it sounded like. I wonder what it felt like. I wonder what they were saying to each other. I wonder what your favorite part is, or which part you'd like to get rid of. Those are all good ways to wonder about what happens in Scripture. And so that's what we are doing. We're gathered around the tables, and we ask the question, I wonder what the disciples and Jesus would have been saying to each other. One child said, I think they were sad. They must have been talking about being sad because their leader, their role model, was just saying he was going to leave them. I would be sad. Another child said, I wonder if it was like Sue Ellen's retirement party. When we got to celebrate all the things that happened in Sue Ellen's ministry here at First Baptist. Ooh, I loved that imagery. Thinking about Jesus' ministry together. Somebody else said, I think it would have been nerve-wracking. I think I would have been nervous to know that the leader I had been following was going to be gone. And that I didn't know what was going to happen next. I think I would be nervous, maybe even anxious. Well, that is the story we hear today in the gospel reading. Jesus is gathered together with his friends talking about leaving. A big transition moment. And as I was working with the scriptures, I thought, this is the most effective team meeting I've ever seen happen. If you have ever been in a meeting where the leader was not clear, you know how incredibly painful that is when there's not somebody feeling responsible for the agenda or the time. But here we have a leader. Jesus has the authority. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, Jesus says. So we have our leader of our team meeting. He's got the big picture in mind. He's got some institutional knowledge. He feels responsible to the team. We have our leader. And the leader tells us what we're to be about. Every once in a while, I'll get an email from my husband, Kevin, from the Harvard Business Review. And anytime I receive an email from Kevin that he has forwarded on, I know there's something he's encouraging me to think about for some reason. So I spend some time in Harvard Business Review every once in a while, learning about leadership or this or that. And I was reading an article by Graham Kenny, and he was talking about mission statements. He said, vision will talk about what is happening in the future, what you want to be, what your company wants to be in the future. Then he said you can also have a mission statement, and a mission statement is about who you are and who you aren't now and into the future. But Mr. Kenny says, I invite you to take it one step further and think about your purpose statement. He said your purpose statement is about your impact on others. He tells us that Kellogg's purpose statement is to nourish families, to thrive and flourish. I think that's a lot of pressure on a box of cereal, but that's the purpose statement for Kellogg. So Jesus gives us our purpose statement. Love one another as I have loved you, so that the world will know that you are my disciples and will know God's love. We have our purpose statement. Graham Kenny says that purpose statements should encourage your staff team to do good work, to love one another as Christ has loved us. After Jesus gives the purpose statement, then he moves on to talk about expectations. When Stacy and Paul hired me, I said, I love clear expectations. I love them to be straightforward, and I will do my best to meet those expectations. So when I hear Jesus say, if you love me, you will follow my commandments, I think, oh yeah, that's good. Okay, that's straightforward, A to B. If you love me, you will follow my commandments. It's not that easy. It sounds simple, but it's not so simple. If you ever watch me parent my children, you will know it's not that simple. Piper, if you love me, you will obey me. If you love me, you will obey me. If you love me, you will obey me. It's more complicated. If you love me, you will obey me. The expectation is that we will follow God's commandments. Jesus says, the two greatest commandments are this: love the Lord your God with all that you are, all that you are, and love your neighbor as yourself. That those two commandments wrap up all the commandments of what God wants us to be about. As I was thinking about why that's hard, I thought about a recent trip that Kevin and I went on. We had the privilege of going to Cancun, to an all-inclusive resort for my cousin's destination wedding, just a week and a half or so ago. We get to the resort called Dreams Spa and Golf Resort. And we get there and we walk in, and before we've done anything, we haven't checked in, we haven't proved who we are, there is champagne glasses and a cookie. Kevin and I looked at each other and we thought, we're going to like it here. Well, it takes a while to get used to. But you start realizing that all the food is free. All the entertainment is free. All the drinks are free. There is 24-hour room service and it's free. Well, I started saying to my uncles and my aunts, what if we experienced God's love as abundantly as we're experiencing life here? What if God's love was this abundant and we knew it? Well, they started poking at this analogy saying, well, you paid a lot of money to be able to receive all this free stuff and people are having to serve you. But I really do believe that God's love is as abundant as we experienced life that week. I started to try to imagine, what would it be like if we experienced that, and if we communicated that to the world? Would we be less likely to hoard all the love for ourselves, or to make rules about who got God's love and who didn't get God's love? Who was right and who was wrong? I think of my aunt, Joy. She's a kindergarten teacher and does reading stuff with kids in a Christian school in Vancouver. She talked about going into one of the little grocery shops of sorts at the resort. She said the salads looked so good. And the sandwiches, ooh, they looked great. Oh, and there was special coffee there. She looked at all those things and she left. And as she was walking down the path, she noticed that other people were eating the salads. And other people were enjoying the fancy coffee. And it dawned on her that she, in fact, could have also taken something out of the shop. That she didn't have to pay for it. She could just receive from that little grocery store. I started thinking about, if we experience God's love abundantly, could we see ourselves as a deeply, truly loved child of God? I wonder what gets in the way. Maybe it's some experience we've had that was more about scarcity than abundance. Maybe we haven't had that abundant love modeled for us. Maybe we're not sure we can even connect to that much love. Maybe it's overwhelming. I do believe that God's love is deeply abundant. And Jesus says it is our job to receive God's love, to love God with our whole being, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. So it's not easy. And Jesus says, I am leaving. I'm not going to leave you orphaned. I've asked God to send you an advocate, another advocate, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can sometimes be referred to as the shy member of the Trinity. harder to wrap our minds around, maybe? I have a children's book. I always like to find children's books that help kids understand who God is. And the title of this book is, What Does God Look Like? I think this is going to be a good one. So I open the book, and the first page says this: God looks like nothing. And nothing looks like God. Oh, not so helpful. It goes on then to say that, you know, a puddle evaporating can help us understand that that's like God. You can't see the puddle evaporate, but you know it evaporates. Or the wind blowing the leaves. But it made me wonder about trying to wrap our minds around the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit look like? This advocate that Jesus says will come and be with you and will lead you. What will that look like? Well, we can look at who Jesus was, because this is another advocate following Jesus, that they are in tune. And so if you look at who Jesus spent time with, if you listen to what matters to Jesus, then you know more about the Holy Spirit already. Jesus helps us understand the purposes of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes us sensitive, to others and to the nature of God. The Holy Spirit makes our hearts sensitive to others and to the nature of God. As Stacy mentioned, we're going to hear about this Vespers meal that we have here at First Baptist every Tuesday night. Later this morning, we're going to hear more about it. It's a program that's been here for 18 years. First Baptist is the main financial supporter and sends lots of volunteers to make this meal happen every Tuesday. There was an article in the Ground Cover News that Pony sells. It's a newspaper that is sold to give a voice to low-income folks in Washtenaw County. Raises funds to support them as well. And in that Ground Cover News, there was an article about the Vespers meal. And there was a quote from a man named Mark who has been here for 12 years having meals, and he says, I love coming to worship at First Baptist. It's a relaxed setting that's theologically sound. Ooh, I love that. Susan Beckett is the author of the article, and she's a member at Temple Beth Emeth in town. And she writes about the worship experience that happens on Tuesday after the meal. She says, in that service, it emphasizes the goodness of God and God's love for each person. If you wonder what the Holy Spirit looks like, the Holy Spirit looks like the Vespers meal. The Vespers meal looks like the Holy Spirit. Stacy and I are hosting a group on Facebook called Parenting as a Spiritual Journey. And the purpose statement of that group is to be a place for parents to encourage one another, to vent if they need to support, to hold accountable, a chance to have conversation about being parents in a faith context. Recently, a friend of mine said, you know, I have a friend who I added to the group, and she doesn't write very much on there, but she reads what's happening. And that mom was having a really rough day. And she said to her friend, but I remembered what the other parents had said on that Facebook group about raising kids with big emotions. And it was the encouragement I needed for the day. The Holy Spirit looks like parents supporting each other in the faith context. Parents supporting each other in the faith context is what the Holy Spirit looks like. Now, I would like to say that Jesus gives us our purpose statement and we hear the expectations. He empowers us with the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean it's easy. You hear in the psalm we read together that there are burdens on our backs, that we are walking through fire and water. But God brings us to the spacious place. God brings us to the spacious place. My kids are involved in a lot of sports. And I have the pleasure of sitting on the sideline while my friends coach those sports. And I have been noticing that at Asher soccer games, something really phenomenal happens every week. So I'm just sitting on the edge, and I notice that as the soccer players are coming off, our friends, the coaches, will say to the children, "Kyle, good job looking up. You saw the pass. Good job." Or, "Asher, way to hold your own on defense. You got in the way." And I watched as those coaches affirmed the children. Those children, their bodies, their eyes lit up. They were spurred on. Jesus says to his disciples before he's about to leave, and Jesus says to us today, "I see God in you. I see God in you." My prayer is that that would spur you on. Because any good team meeting, any effective team meeting, invites you to think about the next step. The action item. How are you going to be God's abundant love in the world today and this week and in the weeks to come? God is in you, Jesus says. And then we get to the end of this meeting. And Jesus says, "Rise, let us be on our way." What I imagine is the disciples' hands all going into the middle. I imagine all of your hands going into the middle. Maybe Jesus' hand right there up on top. And I imagine it sounding a little bit like, "Go team."
Thank you, Zan, for this beautiful offering and for this great call. We have opportunity now to respond to this call, to make our own offering to God with our lives. One of the symbols of that giving is to make this physical offering that we have opportunity to make now. We also have a chance to make a response in the connection cards that you have. You can turn to the other side and consider next steps in your own personal spiritual journey and journey of faith in this community. Whatever you bring, whoever you are, now is your chance to give with joy and new hope. So may we give.
Oh,
God of life, take these offerings, take our lives, take our church, make them fully yours, and help us to show the wondrous, abundant grace of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Children of the promise, children of grace, we extend now to our brothers and sisters signs of peace and signs of love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Now, dear friends, more alive than you have been.
Against all forms of death, be fearless.
Every opportunity for love